Welcome to episode 162 of Kaneda's Pinball Podcast. I'm your host, Kaneda. I wish you could see where I'm podcasting from right now. I'm in my bedroom, which is just cluttered with so much stuff. I have no bed in the apartment right now. So tonight, Bubba and I moved back into the apartment. We've been living in a hotel for 2 weeks, and I messed up. I forgot to order the air mattress to get here on the day I needed it, and I'm too lazy to go get one, so I'm going to be sleeping on a hardwood floor tonight. I'm in an empty bedroom, okay, with just a bunch of stuff, no bed, and I feel a little bit empty inside in the world of pinball, and I want to explain why on this episode of Kaneda's Pinball Podcast. What we're going to do on this episode, we're going to talk about some news items. And then I do want to go back, and I want to just fill in some more of my thoughts around the developments around Deep Root Pinball, because I've been hearing more and more today. And if there's anything I do really appreciate about the pinball hobby, it's that it's a small community of people, and news travels, information travels. People really do want to help each other out. People really do want to make sure that the right thing happens to this hobby, and that people who are infiltrating the hobby to hurt it or do things that are wrong and incomprehensible, the hobby will bond together and stand against those sort of individuals. So we'll go into that. But first, let's talk about some news items that have been happening in the world of pinball. So number one, I thought it was really cool to see Spooky Pinball deliver the first total nuclear annihilation to Ed Robertson. I watched a little bit of the video, not too much, but when I heard they did that and I saw the video and I saw how happy Scott was and all the people there and how happy Ed was, and them playing the game for the first time, it sort of was a much needed reminder. For me, and maybe for you guys, if you saw it, it just reminded me what this hobby should all be about. Getting together with your friends, playing pinball, having a good time, right? Ed's got a nice collection, but I've talked to Ed at shows, and he's a great guy, and Ed doesn't give a shit about chasing LEs and chasing rarity and chasing every new in-box game that comes out there. He buys games that he enjoys playing, and then he moves on when he gets tired of them, and he brings a new game in, and he's got a great collection. But he enjoys playing pinball. He really enjoys playing pinball. And, you know, this was just a class act. It was a smart move on Spooky's part. It was great PR, great marketing. You know, I talk all the time about how bad so many of these companies are when it comes to doing things that excite the community and getting people pumped and sort of just super hyped to get the game. You know, I know everyone who's in on a total nuclear annihilation is really excited to get it. They were really excited to see how they gave it to Ed and see how happy Scott is, because at the end of the day, it makes everyone who buys this machine feel really good about supporting Scott, about supporting Spooky, about supporting this company that over the last few years has done nothing but deliver on the promises they've made to people. And I might give Spooky shit every once in a while because their games might not be as great as I'd like them to be. But in the end, on a day like today, where on one side of the spectrum we have Spooky Pinball, and on the other side of the spectrum we have John Papaduke resurfacing again, and John Papaduke taking over $1 million from people and not delivering a working game to a single person, and Spooky Pinball probably has, you know, just barely taken $1 million, and they've delivered every single game to every single person that's ever ordered a single game from them. And I'm starting to just really, really, really think that we have to at this time, especially this time, really support the people that are doing it right. Doesn't mean you have to buy their games. Doesn't mean you have to, like, you know, I'm not saying that. But it's just making me see this whole hobby completely differently than I have even recently. All right. So congratulations to Ed and Scott and Charlie and company for doing that awesome thing. I think people needed to see some good news and read about a new game coming out that is bringing smiles to people's faces. And those 200 people that are on the wait list, I know you guys can't wait to get your games. And the good news is you'll get them soon. All right. AC/DC premiums are ready to ship. There is finally some photography of what the game is. It's, you know what? I kept feeling like this would be some sort of like magical vault edition, sort of things would be touched up and made much better the way Spider-Man was given the new treatment. But this is basically AC/DC premium if you want to buy it again. The few things that Stern did change on this game, they removed the drummer from the band in the upper right corner. It's kind of funny. It's just a black character outline of a human where he used to be. So he no longer exists in the game, which is really funny to see. The other thing that they did was they allow people now to remove that middle lower playfield, sort of like the plastic piece that covers the lower playfield. It used to be an insert. Now it's a removable piece of plastic. And you can see the screws that keep it in place. Now, when I saw this photo, and I part of me is just always confused as to why people who do the final glance at a machine and say, you know what, this is as good as we could do it, why people look at silver screws that are in front of a black area as being good enough. You look at the picture. There's plenty of pictures on Pinside of what that area looks like, and you've got this black outline where there's like that devil head, and it's the contour that's all black, and then you have these glaring silver screws. I know I'm nitpicking and it doesn't matter, but again, it just always crushes me that the details just get sort of overlooked. It's like, let's just do whatever's easiest. Let's not do what looks best. And I think people were trying to see if the game has lollipop rails or not as an indication of whether or not Stern is pulling more quality out of the machine. But I don't think there's been confirmation on whether or not it has lollipop rails. And, you know, look, if you want AC/DC, now you can go get a new one, right? There's no harm, no foul. If Stern wants to rerun AC/DC, so be it. I don't really think there's tons of people who want another chance at an AC/DC premium because there's just so many AC/DCs out in the wild. But I'll say this. I know some people who don't like AC/DC. I know a lot more people that love AC/DC and consider it to be one of Stern's best machines ever. I have a friend in the city who has a Lucy edition. He loves it. He didn't even realize he was getting like this rare edition. Now he's got something that's worth more than he paid. But it's good to see that you can go get a new one now if you want one. It's not the game for me, but if it's the game for you, you can go get it. All right. Batman 66 owners. This thread's funny. These guys have had now almost an entire year of sitting on this game waiting for it to be done. So now these guys have so much time. All of them are just, if you read the thread, it's kind of hysterical. They're just sort of all adding meaningless mods to this game because they've got nothing else to do, right? They keep dropping more toys and Batgirls and Batcopters and Batboats into the playfield. None of it is interactive. None of it works with the game. None of it's making the game better. When will Lyman Sheets finish this game? That is the big question mark. Now that we know that Guardians of the Galaxy will not be at Expo, my hunch is that another Christopher Franchi game is finally going to get the 1.0 treatment, and that Stern is going to release Batman Code for Expo, in time for Expo, and they almost have to. The reason why they have to is, if you remember, and it's crazy to remember this far back, is that it was a year ago that Stern showed us Batman 66 for the first time at Expo, got everybody excited, made everybody buy out the LEs, sold out of the SLEs. That was a year ago, and the game is still not done. And this has been one of those painful waits for Batman 66 owners, for all Stern owners. If you went in on this game, you have been waiting patiently. So I think Stern is going to use Expo as a chance to have Lyman there, explain why it took so long, drop the code, and sort of try and drop the mic. If you guys out there want a Batman, I believe you can still go get the premiums, right? The LEs are sold out, and there is actually a Super LE, I think this is number two, that is now on eBay for the bargain price of $14,000. So now's your chance to go get it. At least it's real. At least it's a real pin. All right, what else is going on in the world? So as I said, no Game of Thrones. Sorry, I keep saying Game of Thrones. No Guardians of the Galaxy. The reason why I always say that in my notes, I always write GOTG, right? And my brain is just wired when I have pinball notes that has a GOT to say Game of Thrones. And that's why I always mess up pronouncing Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, now the other big rumor that is going around is that JJP number 4, which is Pirates of the Caribbean, is going to be at Expo. Like, this is, I've heard this now multiple times. I've heard it from many people, and I kind of believe it now. I mean, Jack is going to show up with this game. This game's been worked on for a while, and what do we know about Pirates of the Caribbean? We don't know much. The rumors are that it is not going to include Johnny Depp, which I don't get how you make Pirates of the Caribbean without Johnny Depp. But that being said, a pirate theme is really interesting. And if we are to sort of think about all the things you could do with a pirate theme, there's a lot. There's a lot. Now, I'm hearing some rumors. So here's what I'm hearing from the rumor mill of someone who knows someone who claims they know someone who's seen a photo of Pirates of the Caribbean. Okay, now if you believe that, then maybe you'll believe what I'm about to tell you, what I'm hearing about Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm hearing it has like three spinning discs. Okay, I'm hearing that. I'm hearing it has like a moving upper playfield portion, sort of like the upper left corner of Indiana Jones, where it tilts back and forth. You know, maybe you have to, I don't know what's going on there. And then I also hear it has some sort of catapult toy of some sort. So you're going to fire the ball. Maybe it's a cannon that shoots it. These are all just unconfirmed rumors that I am hearing about someone who says they know someone who knows someone who knows someone who saw it. Take it for what it is. It's a pirate theme. It's not too hard to make up what you might think is in that game, right? So I don't know. I can't wait to see it, right? I can't wait to see all new pinball machines. I also think that it's going to be a theme that no one really wants. And it's a shame because I think Jack keeps missing on the theme. I think he's always got all this hard work if he could just get the theme right. The other thing I'm hearing, which is absolutely probably almost all but confirmed, is that Pat Lawler is making Toy Story. So knowing that, again, I think people are just going to pass on Pirates. Because it's what's hard now is Jack's games are worth the money, but they're also like the value, if the theme is not there, is hard to like go in, because we're seeing Hobbit Smaug Edition sell for $6,000 now. And those were $9,000 pinball machines new just a year ago. So I don't know if people are going to be running to buy these things if they want the next game. You know, at this price point, it's got to be a theme that you never want to let go of for a while. For a while, at least more than a couple years. So, curious to see how the community responds to Pirates of the Caribbean. And why isn't Guardians of the Galaxy going to be at Expo? See, this is the problem that I've been trying to figure out. Like, why isn't Stern going to show Guardians? Why are they going to delay that? Is it just because of Batman 66 code? No, I don't think that's the case. We all know that Texas Pinball Festival is too far out for them to reveal Guardians of the Galaxy, which means Guardians is not going to get the show reveal it deserves. It's not going to be in the spotlight like it deserves to be in. And Borg deserves to be there. Mr. Franchi deserves to be there. And it should be the game that they pull the curtain off on and steal the thunder away from probably Jersey Jack. And the only reason I can think of why that's not happening is it's a business decision, and that Star Wars is not selling as much as Stern hoped it would or would have liked it to, and so they are going to try to make Expo the Star Wars show. The problem is this. Everyone's mind is made up on Star Wars. Everyone's mind is made up. So you either love the theme so much that you're willing to overlook the fact that this is probably the worst theme-integrated Star Wars pinball machine we've ever had. It's also probably the most disappointing Stern pinball launch I've ever seen. And it's just a game that is average. And you either think that, which I think most people do, or you're just so enamored by the Star Wars theme that you don't care and you're willing to own it, okay? I think people fall on both sides of the fence. I don't think anyone out there is really being like, man, Stern knocked this game out of the park. It's awesome. It's their best pin ever. In fact, I want to read something. I want to read something because part of me was worried that I maybe was too harsh on Star Wars, and once owners got them, they would realize what I couldn't see. They would have an experience that showed that I was being too critical, that the game was actually really fun and satisfying and brought the Star Wars universe to life. So there is a Pinside user who got his Star Wars LE, and he so eloquently described what it was like opening it and playing it and experiencing Star Wars LE. And this is a Pinside user who has bought many new and box Stern machines, and he basically created a thread that said, Star Wars is my last new and box Stern. And I want to read what Pinside user Glass Air Pilot writes, okay? He wrote, so my Star Wars LE arrives for $8,700. The art is rather dull in my opinion, and I even put in the premium back glass art since everyone I asked said it was much better. I actually like the gameplay. The hyperspace loop is cool, and the shots are challenging. But the Death Star shot is too tough considering it is such an important shot. It blows my mind that they made this one shot so tough. My biggest aggravation, though, is the fact that this nearly $9,000 machine did not come with a shaker motor. Yeah, I know, I should have read the description better, but really? That is like ordering a new top-of-the-line Lincoln and having to pay extra for air conditioning. That put me over the edge. Furthermore, the lack of thought of the callouts, especially when you are saving the princess, is annoying. Leia will say the same thing 7 to 8 times in each mode, and it makes me wish I had a blaster to shoot her instead of saving her. I just feel that Stern is cranking these out too fast, and we don't get what we could have been a great game. Now, whose fault is that? Well, that is easy. Ours. I'm done with the craze and will look to remakes, JJP, or buy some classics. I just don't see $9,000 as a good deal anymore, considering the stripping of options and a rushed product. Okay. Sorry, I'm like in this room too, and it's like my apartment's dusty because of all the construction, so I'm getting a little like dry mouth in here. All right. So this is kind of what I knew would happen. And I think a lot of people have been feeling this way. And it's not just on Star Wars, right? It's overall. There is a dark cloud that is starting to hover over the new in-box collector's world. And blue skies are not ahead. We've all believed that the promise of new pinball was going to deliver magic, was going to deliver games that were as good, that were as creative and innovative and well thought out as the games from the 90s. And I think it's fair to say that the last 5 years of pinball has barely even scratched the surface of coming up with the same type of magic that the 1990s brought to pinball. And I think a lot of people in this hobby, they thought they were part of this resurgence that would make games so good and they would have Christmas morning, 3-4 times a year, as these new in-box pinball machines arrived and they opened them up and the games blew them away. And I think it's been somewhat of the opposite. I think over the past 5 years, we've had a mixture of a few things. We've had the dominant player in pinball, Stern Pinball, really struggle to up the ante. They definitely gave us amazing themes. They definitely gave us a lot of pinball. And we have to be thankful that Stern did that because, as we'll see when I continue this sort of speech, most other manufacturers delivered us nothing. So Stern is the number one player. They drive the market. But instead of driving the product forward, they stripped things out of the games. They made the games cheaper. Maybe they had to do that to survive. Remember, if Stern collapses, everybody collapses. There is no pinball market anymore. Maybe Spooky survives. Maybe Jersey Jack. But for the most part, Stern would... It's like the Titanic going down. Everyone else will get sucked into its into the wake of like that big ship going down. So that is like... I think what a lot of people are feeling now, because for most people, the only option they've had if they want to go get a new machine has been a new Stern. And more and more, it's harder and harder to justify the fact that Stern LEs used to be $6,500, maybe even cheaper with the street price, and now they're near the price of Jersey Jack pinball machines. They're $9,000 for these LEs. And there is no way to justify the value. Which leads me to my next point. Is Stern had marketing gold when it had the LE and the Pro. It tapped into something that people wanted. The problem is they then failed to deliver anything that is worthy of the name limited edition. They've absolutely ruined the badging of limited edition, right? They've ruined what it stands for. They ruined what you can expect from it. And now limited edition means nothing. It's not just a quantity thing, right? It's not just like, oh, they're making too many. It's they're making so many and there's nothing in it to justify the price. See, limited edition should be special, right? It should be really, really special. If an AMG version of an S-Class Mercedes is the limited edition version, and you get in the base level Mercedes, and you don't feel a difference between the two models when you're playing or driving, then you've got to be kidding me that you're going to say that that's the limited, like, higher-end premium version of the product. And so it's all just been marketing gobbledygook. It's all just been smoke and mirrors, and I think it's caught up to Stern, and I think you guys feel that right now. You're kind of tired, you're kind of fed up. I feel the same way. You'll probably notice on my podcast, I'm starting to sound fatigued and tired and bored and a little bit over the new in-box craze because it's just failed to deliver, right? And so in over those five-year periods, you couple that fact that like the only one who's really consistently making games is making games that are below the standards you'd like for the prices you're paying. You're then left with Jersey Jack, who just can't get you the theme you really want. You're then left with Spooky, who you feel great about as a company, but the games just don't deliver for you. And then you're left with Andrew Highway, who burned you. Dutch Pinball, who burned you. John Papaduke, who burned you. Kevin, who burned you, right? P3, which you don't really know if you want. You know, it's just a pinball circus. Where's that at? You know, it's this chain of, or this row of companies that have just done absolutely nothing, right? And so when I've been saying it, like Star Wars is the tipping point. It was going to take the game that everybody was the most excited about to be the most disappointed in that would actually get the behavioral change, right? And as this owner says, it's our fault for buying it. And I had a friend, I read this guy's comments to a friend of mine, and my friend just wrote back and said, yeah, but he bought one. See, that's the problem, is he bought one anyway, which means he never played it. He never stood in front of one. He never spent a bunch of time on it before he sent in his money on one. And that is what Stern has created, a hobby in which people have been running after something, sight unseen, throwing money at it before they even know they like it or they really want to keep it or really want to play it. Right? He's frustrated with the shots. He's frustrated with the artwork. He's frustrated with the design, the layout. He's frustrated with the callouts. And yet you bought one. It's like, you know, you can go test drive these things. You know, if you just wait, you can go test drive it and you can play it and you can play a friend. You can play one on location. You can play one at a show. And I keep hearing more and more people saying, that's what I'm going to do from now on. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to run. Because what's the fear of missing out on a limited edition version of something that's not even special? And Stern has made it that way right now. And who knows, it might change immediately if Christopher Franchi and John Borg show an LE of Guardians that just blows you away, right? You take my money now before even seeing if it plays, right? That's how this hobby, but you know, I really think it's changed. I for the first time, I think people are fed up enough to realize it's time to change the behavior. It's time to start making sure you want these things. It's not rewarding to unbox it and then a week later want to get rid of it. I've already seen a Star Wars LE up for sale immediately, $7,700 for sale. You know, I expect to see so many Star Wars up for sale over the next 4 months. We're going to see it. The second other pins come out that are new, everyone's going to dump their Star Wars. You will be able to get a Star Wars LE a year from now. A year from now. It brand new, $8,700. Watch, $6,700 or less Star Wars LEs will sell for. It'll be the exact same thing as Game of Thrones. They made a lot of them. It's not a great machine. The art package, I would even say the Game of Thrones LE package is much nicer looking, other than the crappy playfield art, but the cabinet art, the cabinet armor, the topper, all that, much nicer looking than Star Wars is. I think Steve Ritchie needs to retire at Expo. I think he needs to, he's done. Get, you gave him the biggest theme in the history of themes, and this is what he made. He's done. It's time to retire. All right. Now, let me get on to my final point, because when I say I feel just like this emptiness, this feeling that something wrong, something amiss is happening in our hobby, you know, it's deep root. And I've been thinking about this for the last few days, and obviously because I'm a Madrigal owner, I'm personally invested in this story and what's going on. But today, even more things are happening around this company. And here's basically what's happening, because I just don't think people should be able to do things in this small little community of ours and just get away with it without you guys knowing the truth and knowing what's going on behind the scenes and knowing who these real individuals are. So I called up Deep Root. I spoke to Robert, you know, and he gave me, you know, somewhat like vague answers on everything going on and how they want to make everything right. They want to make everything right. And it was very like cordial, nice, like gentleman conversation. So there's clearly another side to Robert that I didn't get on that phone call, but I've been hearing, you know, things that he's doing and things that he's trying to accomplish to make this John Papaduke deal of his work. Now, if we step back for a minute, you know, Robert is a businessman. He's someone who I've talked to people who have known him from Texas, from other things he's worked on. You know, I do a little homework, and he's a businessman. He's been a very successful businessman, and he uses money and influence to make deals happen. So he is now probably trying to accomplish the hardest deal of his life, which is partnering with John Papaduke, getting permission to make Magic Girl and all the Razas and Alice in Wonderlands, getting the right permission and people in place to re-engineer Magic Girl because it doesn't work, to then figure out how to manufacture them because he has no manufacturing knowledge of pinball, and then actually like fixing, making, and shipping the industry's white whale mythological game called Magic Girl. And I've been deconstructing this on a lot of levels. But something that I heard today just really upset me, and I saw it on Pinside, and it's the fact that Robert wants Zombie Yeti to sign over his artwork to Deep Root so they can remake Magic Girls. And Zombie Yeti was basically like, fuck you. Like, I'm not doing that. Zombie Yeti spent 5 years plus of his life working with John Papaduke. Maybe it was 4 years, but he spent an inordinate amount of time working with John, slaving away, you know, probably didn't get compensated at his normal rates because he, you know, he got really excited. It was pinball. He was going to go the extra mile. We saw that in the Adobe video. He gave more than John ever paid him because he was so excited to be part of pinball history. And what did he get in the end? He got paid, but he didn't get his machine. And, you know, John just completely, like, fucked him over in so many other ways, right? John completely fucked over the guy who's coding the machine, Apple Juice, over there in the UK. You know, he never sent that guy a game either. And so, you know, the problem is this with John Papaduke, is when Robert tells me, oh, John's a nice guy, I've talked to John's family, you know, John doesn't mean harm, John's not toxic. He's hearing that story from John Papaduke. Like, of course John so easily puts on that, like, meek, like, timid, like, victim, like, sweet guy who's just trying to make pinball. And the bottom line is this. It wasn't John Papaduke who made the games you love. Yes, like, he had designs for these games, and he's got a very creative flair. But it was the team of people at Bally Williams that when John went home and thought he had invented genius, they went to work burning the midnight candles, making John's ideas and concepts actually work, okay? That is what made John Papaduke great. John, you know, the artist who put great art in John's game, because John does understand the need for good art, the good for, you know, creative design. But Zombie Yeti got burned. You know, Matt Andrews, I think he finally got paid by American Pinball. The coder was never fully paid. But it's not just those three individuals. There are so many other people that gave John parts, that gave John help, that gave John assistance, that John turned his back on and just basically, like a pariah, like took from these individuals and gave nothing back. And what about all those people? What about all those people that got stabbed in the back or never got anything? You know, this notion that John just gets to walk through the pinball hobby like some sort of deity who can never die, who can never go away, that he should keep being resurrected. Every time he fails, someone's there to pick him up with the promise of making Magic Girl and Raza and Alice. And what's the one common denominator that everyone always thinks they can solve John's problems with? It's with money. And so, you know, Robert is trying to strong-arm Zombie Yeti into getting the artwork. Now, why does he need the artwork? Well, I don't know. My guess is this. This is just a guess. If they're going to remake Magic Girl and they need to make changes to the game, which we all know they need to do because the game doesn't function properly the way it is, then they're going to have to change the artwork and they're going to have to redraw things and move things around, and it's not going to look right unless Zombie Yeti does his artwork. Zombie Yeti might also own the rights to using his artwork on these machines, and John might have had permission to sell X amount of games using his artwork. So if these guys want to make an unlimited amount, Zombie Yeti wasn't compensated for an unlimited amount. Now, I believe all of this is just so forward-looking that it's almost laughable that we're discussing it like this, like Magic Girls that are working are about to come out. Because other things I've learned today is Deep Root Pinball isn't it, where is Deep Root Pinball? Where is the company? Where is the manufacturing? Where is the know-how to make pinball machines? You know, how are they going to do all that? I'm sure Robert, because he is a man of means, will pay individuals who know a thing or two about pinball or engineering money to try and fix this problem. But here's why I just think none of it makes any freaking sense. And I'm not just saying this because I own a Magic Girl. It makes absolutely no sense to remake Magic Girl. The people who bought Magic Girls all got them. The fact that they're not starting with Raza, which is the game that no one has received, which is the game that makes the most sense to start with, is a head scratcher to me. Why is that? Why aren't they starting with Raza? No one was promised more Magic Girls and didn't get them other than the, you know, Zombie Yeti and the Coder and maybe a few vendors who got screwed. But, you know, the fact that they're starting with Magic Girl, I believe it's like this. Here's my hunch on why it has to be Magic Girl. I believe hunch number one is that Raza is nowhere near complete. John, when have you ever seen Raza mechanism? When have you ever seen Raza anything? I was on the Zidware blog. I saw everything there was to see around Raza. I saw a game that had artwork that had so much IP infringement on it that they could never release it like that. Like, John just had them, he just had them draw things that he had no permission to use. So that whole thing needs to be redrawn because of all that IP issues that are occurring in that game. Okay, but even then, all you had was like a Raza layout, right? Very much like John's Houdini layout. You know, he's a master at putting down on paper what looks like a pinball machine. Like, everything's where it should be, but he hasn't designed it yet in a working fashion. He hasn't been flipping Raza. He doesn't have mechanisms and this and that and all the magic people expect from a J-pop game designed for that game. Okay. Now, I was thinking too, like, remember the only reason John had to introduce Raza to the world is because he ran out of money with Magic Girl. Remember, Raza was the Ponzi scheme title to keep money coming in when he was done with spending all the Magic Girl buyers' money. He needed more money. What did he do? Did he go get an investor? Did he go, like, take a loan out? Did he go do the right thing? No, he said, I've got game number two. And all of a sudden, everyone threw money at him. And he kept using that Raza money to develop Magic Girl. And then what happened when that money ran out? Hey, I got game number three, Alice in Wonderland. Send your money now. And people actually did. You know, so that was always John's plan. His plan was always to finish the game of his dreams, to finally figure out how to make a game that would show he was the greatest pinball designer in the world, and he would capitalize on pinball's resurgence. So he created his opus, his Chinese democracy of the pinball world, and he called it Magic Girl. Magic Girl. It was the game that would be the greatest game of all time. He told Chris from Cointaker, I want you guys to really listen. This is the truth. This is the men we are dealing with. Right? He told Chris from Cointaker right before he sent Chris his game that this was his best work to date. Okay? Chris goes to plunge the ball and it didn't even plunge. He looks down and sees there's not even a shooter lane groove cut into the play field. Nothing, hardly anything on Magic Girl works, yet John told him it was his best game ever. And see, what world are we living in, okay? Are we going to start to look at these individuals for who they are and what they've actually done, and their actions are going to define how their reputations, you know, how their reputations are in the pinball world? So you have John, who did this whole thing. And now Robert over at Deep Root wants to salvage and save that entire Ponzi scheme pinball plan that John had put in place. And he wants to do the first thing is make more Magic Girls. And all that does is screw over everybody who bought a Magic Girl because they're going to get screwed. I'm not denying it. You make unlimited versions of Magic Girl, and then you lied to the people who gave you $16,000 because they thought they were getting a very limited machine. So you're going to lie to them, and now you want to fuck them over by making an unlimited amount. the right thing to do would just be start with Raza, and then at least you get those people the game they deserve, and you got to give them one-to-one on the dollar for their credit that they gave John. But the whole thing makes no sense. If they were smart, what they would do, if they want to work with John so badly, is they would, why would they ever get back in bed with the Zidware shit show? Why would they ever do that? If they were smart, they would just let John design a new game. Why not let John just design a new game, right? Why not just make John Papadukes Houdini? Remember, Houdini is an open IP. Anybody can make a Houdini game. You could make two Houdini games at the same time, and there's nothing anyone could do to stop you because it's open IP. You can't have the exclusive Houdini pinball machine, right? That's why John loved that theme so much. It's John's dream theme, by the way. If you look at the original Magic Girl, he's got Houdini's face in one of the plastics above the pop bumpers in the prototype. Houdini is the man he's obsessed with. He's obsessed with magicians. Okay, now the other reason, I was getting to this, I kind of went around it. The other reason why I think they want to remake Magic Girl more than anything, is that Magic Girl represents John Papadukes' pride. His pride has been destroyed by his inability to give the world the game that he promised them. And Magic Girl, it's his like cathedral. He keeps building it higher and higher and higher, yet none of it reaches the heavens. Yet none of it will ever be done. The center mechanism of that game, of the one game that I'm looking at right now, that center mechanism is the ultimate metaphor for John Papadukes' mind when it comes to designing pinball lately. He just doesn't know when to stop. He just doesn't know how to make anything work. And instead of taking stuff out, instead of making something just function that's fun, he keeps adding another layer and says, I'll get to that later. Look at the center mechanism. On the playfield, there's one, this is the layers of that center mech, the layers that have to work. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four. There's like four layers of how the ball is supposed to travel. First, the ball is supposed to go over this like vertical upkick plunger that's in the middle underneath that center mech, right? And the ball is supposed to get magnetized there. I don't think John even like ever even got that to work with the ball moving at normal velocity. So anyway, it's supposed to magnetize there. Then the vertical upkicker is supposed to shoot the ball up through the middle of that ramp, goes past the MagnaFlip second layer, up until this ring, this guy with like his arms out, and he's got like a circle ring, this mystic ring that's supposed to grab the ball in midair using a magnet, right? All those things are there in the game. I've got a magnet, I've got the vertical upkick, it kicks the ball through, I've got the middle portion with the magna flippers, and none of it works. None of it works. So what the fuck did he do for 5 years? He burned through $1.2 million of customer money. He burned through another hundreds of thousands of dollars of Dovel's money. And he burned through $100,000 or more of Bill Brandis's money. And now he's found the guy that claims to know the pinball business better than anybody. So Robert, who knows pinball better than anyone, who's seen John Papadukes burn through the money of very smart men, of very successful businessmen, but now he's going to make it work. Now he's going to make it work. And seeing what he's trying to do to Zombie Yeti, seeing how he's got this desire to like strong arm and threaten people and try to like use his money and influence to get his way, I don't think that's going to play in the pinball world. I don't think it's going to play with consumers. I don't think it's going to play with people. And none of that puts a good feeling in anybody's mind or hearts about this company. And I don't know when they're going to come out and actually make an official statement. So this is where we're at. This is where pinball is at, people. Another John Papadukes bailout situation. I don't want to talk about this crap anymore. I just wish this stuff would go away for good. I wish the 25 Madrigal owners could work together to try to figure out a solve without John. And I wish Zombie Yeti could move on with Pinball and focus on his Stern machines and put that chapter behind him. I wish that everyone who got burned by Raza, you know, I wish you guys would get your games, but not this way. I don't even want it to be from John Papaduke. I wish some other company, like, just bought the rights to Raza, designed it properly, and just made it, and kicked him to the curb. You know, John Papaduke is like George Lucas. You're just going to get a better product when you kick his ass to the curb. He might have had some great concepts and ideas that he was able to execute in his youth, but he clearly has shown that he has no right being anywhere near his very own creations anymore. And that is who John Papaduke is. He is the George Lucas of pinball. And it's just time for, like, either Robert to tell everybody what his plans are, to show that he has the ability to manufacture pinball. But I just think this thing's going to be a fiasco that continues to go on and on and on. You know, it was enough talking about the Dutch pinball fiasco, the Highway pinball fiasco. Now we throw another new, like, fiasco into the mix, and it gets old. It gets tiring. It wears everybody out who's excited about new pinball, because it hurts the hobby. This stuff hurts the hobby. There's no other way around it. We should be spending page after page congratulating Spooky, page after page getting excited about Borg and Franchi's new Guardians machine, page after page, you know, getting excited about what could possibly be in Pirates of the Caribbean. That should be pinball. That should be this hobby. These investors with their legal suits and their contracts and strong-arming people and trying to give John another shot, that is no place in this hobby anymore. No place. And again, the only people that can allow it to survive is you and me. If we say no and we say we're not going to buy this shit, it changes the ability for this guy to keep resurfacing, all right? That's it for episode 162 of Canada's Pinball Podcast. I'm trying to get Ted on the show. It was my fault tonight. He was going to come on. I didn't have the right computer. I'm going to go try and find a place to sleep in this apartment where there's no bed, no pillow, nothing. I've got I should sleep on top of the Magic Girl. I should just sleep on it and be like, oh, and dream of it working. It'd be amazing. All right, guys. I'll talk to you real soon. Have a good day. But just know, you never met somebody like me before, though.